This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca, Tass and Paul. Would you like to introduce our next guest, Tass?
I would love to. Our next guest is the effervescent. Matt Wade, editor of Star Observer. Good morning to you, Matt.
How's it going?
Really well.
Well, we've just had a fantastic time with Paul Zara.
Yes, I heard. Paul's amazing. We've actually covered him quite extensively in the magazine, obviously, previously. How was the chat?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And had a massive response from our listeners. Many of the comments we haven't actually got around to reading out because we're just so enthralled by the conversation. But 317 does say they'd have to be one of the best dressed corporate executives in Australia. I actually think I might be right.
I think you had a bit of a man crush on him. All morning you've been spot welding around the joint.
I don't even know. I've never heard that term before, Macca.
I think what I respect about Paul and people, I guess, that have come from his background is obviously he's worked in a corporate environment, David Jones, but he's also done things on a community level. Like I know a couple of years ago, he was one of Midsummer's ambassadors or champions. Obviously, he's doing work with the Pinnacle Foundation. Like, it's nice, yeah, when people, you know... Yeah,
they put back, and he actually talked about that this is one way that he, you know, he said, you know, there was probably more he could have done when he was at DJ's, but he was dealing with the disruption in the business.
Mm.
And this is now a way that he can, you know, make some pathways and, you know, for our community.
I respect that.
Really... good guy. He was a little bit nervous at the start.
He was. I don't know why.
But then I think he...
He relaxed into it.
He got into it. He knew that he was in safe hands.
Maybe your reputation's preceded you. Maybe he was a bit nervous, like, oh, well, my yeah, I mean,
ha, ha, ha. You're so kind, Paul.
Why wouldn't you be nervous with Tash? You never know what you're going to say.
Matt, I always love it when you give us a bit of a shopping list of issues.
Yes.
But the top of the pops for me has got to be... Tony Abbott wanting to claim credit for marriage equality. What the F is that about?
For the second time, actually. So he did, I think, during the postal survey process, and now he's done it again. And interestingly, probably not that coincidentally, he's done it following, I guess, a recent poll which showed that he's likely to lose his seat to an independent candidate at the upcoming election by, I think, about a 54 to 46 margin.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate too much, but I get the impression that, you know, after that poll came out, he's kind of grasping at straws to be like, well, look what I've done, look what I achieved.
And, you know, there was a little YouTube video of him.
Is that what that's about?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
Does he really think that anybody would believe that he...
Of course he does. He lives in a bubble.
And, well, we all live in bubbles.
Yeah, but there was a lovely video of him last week at Manly Surf Lifesaving Club, right? Standing in front of a portaloo. This is in his electorate.
Oh, yes.
And saying, you know, you would think, you know, when the light, you know, they know they're going to get thousands of people at these events, they could have more toilets. Mate, you've been the federal member for 24 years.
And he's done nothing about it.
You've been a minister. You were prime minister for a couple of years, right?
And just trashed our brand
and
reputation.
Hang on. In all those positions, you have the ability... you know, to give grants to local communities. So in all that time, you couldn't put more dunnies at the Lifesaving Club. What a hopeless, hopeless man.
And I guess it's like you were saying, he probably does naively think that people will buy what he's selling in terms of him claiming credit for marriage equality. But, I mean, I don't know if people's memories are that thin, but, I mean, during the actual postal survey process, you know, he said things like, you know, that the campaign for marriage equality was, and I quote, a war on our way of life.
Yep.
He suggested that LGBTI people are no longer discriminated against. Like, is it so many...
But he made this possible for us.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we're the devil incarnate, but... You know, he's having a bob each way. You know, he's saying, well, I actually made this happen, even though it's the worst thing that ever happened.
It's ridiculous. And if the poll, I mean, if the poll's anything to go by, I mean, hopefully he won't be re-elected. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, obviously, a bit later this year. But
So, of course, the other thing that he's had a very firm hand in is religious freedoms.
Oh, right.
And the Religious Freedoms Inquiry. So what's happening there? What's the latest there?
It's actually quite exasperating because, as I guess many of the listeners would know, Scott Morrison had kind of committed last year to getting something done on this front, at least in relation to students at faith-based schools, not necessarily teachers. And then it got dragged into the new year and everyone was saying, oh, God, it's just kind of, they're just playing football as always, like making it drag out and out all the way up until the election.
It's off the radar now, isn't it?
Well, what happened was they'd had a Senate inquiry looking at, I think, Labor's proposed bill, which would, I guess, help, would remove exemptions that allow faith-based schools to discriminate against students specifically, not teachers. And this inquiry, after weeks or however long it's been, you know, the report which they just released on Thursday evening essentially said two things. One, that the bill shouldn't be passed, so they were against the proposed bill. And B, that the bill needs to be referred to the Australian Law Reform Commission for full and proper consideration. So now it's just a matter of
another delay. Yeah. Yes.
Well, perhaps
the government could set
another committee up and make Tim Wilson the chair. He could fix it.
I think that seat might be under threat as well, Macca.
Yes.
It's just, it's ridiculous. It's very farcical. It's just been so prolonged and delayed. And now it's just another example of what was the point of the inquiry? Yeah. I mean, just to say, now we're going to handball it to somebody else to look at again.
You know, it's not about kicking the can down the road. It's about kicking us in the guts.
So exactly, yeah.
That's what it's about.
So, right? Matt, I'm hearing you express some fairly sort of certain views this morning. is that what editors do?
I suppose so. You know what? I try not to reflect. I mean, I have my own personal beliefs. I don't want them to reflect on the publication because we're trying to be as unbiased as possible. But that's what I use my social media for, to put my own views forward.
I need to follow you on social media.
You do.
It gets a little bit scandalous, actually. Interestingly, I know this is a bit off topic, but over the Invasion or Australia Day weekend, I put up a couple of posts around my thoughts about changing the date. And I got hundreds of far-right, you know, people sending me quite abusive messages, which was fun.
Well, they've got to do something with the one hand they're not using.
Yeah. Well, the far right.
Yeah.
So for people to, you must have an open book on your social media accounts. Mm-hmm. It's not a closed book. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, I use, I mean, particularly Twitter, again, I'm not to deviate too much from the conversation, but I use it essentially to put forward my own views on certain topics like that are separate from the
story. So if our listeners want to follow you, they have to...
Oh, yeah, Matthew R. Wade at Twitter.
Done. I'll be hooking up pretty soon.
But this one in particular, like the religious freedoms debate, I mean, we wrote quite extensively about it for our December issue last year. You know, I spoke with principals from religious schools, LGBTI religious advocates, and it was just, I mean, it was exasperating then because even then it felt like it was getting delayed, and now it's just another, it's like you said, it's not only kicking the can down the street, but it's just another punch in the gut for us and also for young people. I mean, I don't mean to make it only about them because the whole community are affected,
but for young folk, you know, it has a huge impact.
And interestingly,
you know, this is where, you know, when Paul was talking about, you know, 75% of shoppers when he was CEO at DJs were women. Mm. Yet there were no females in senior management or on the board.
Right.
You know, what gives, you know, how can it make sense that a whole lot of middle-aged, white, heterosexual men, right, are making decisions and making policy pronouncements and policy and legislation, you know, with some exceptions, about us, but about young members, you know, of our community. And it's so distressing because, you know what, they actually don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realise. And if they do realise, they're doing it because they're bigots.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it, if I'll say it's their belief, well, you know, 0.0003%. Four decimal places.
Yeah.
And the Bible is about homosexuality.
Right.
That's how important the original franchisee thought it was.
That's completely correct. And I guess, I think it's very easy for conservative politicians and people that are not necessarily on side with our community to use the issues that affect us as like big, massive things that they need to...
And Islam and other religions.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Of course.
Every franchise, because they are franchises, they're money-making businesses.
Hmm.
Well, they don't pay tax. They're big real estate owners, you know. They're immune to employment law in a lot of cases. It's a great gig if you can get it. We should start a church task.
One thing which I thought was quite heartening, and this is, I guess, on a positive note, ahead of the report being released from the Senate on Thursday afternoon, I believe it was on Wednesday, a petition was, I guess, hand-delivered to senators in Canberra by young people that had been signed by, I think, nearly 55,000 people. And I guess it was really nice because it ties into what you were saying exactly, which is that it's often people that this issue has nothing to do with that are the ones making the decisions about it. And so it was kind of nice to see young people who this does directly affect, I guess, making their voices heard in a way.
So these young people advocating for something that affects them.
Yeah.
Which is a decision is required by people who are not like them.
Yep.
It's just the whole thing's dreadful. So what else is hot? Tell us what else is going on. There was a little story around AML, I believe.
Oh, there was, yeah. So, I mean, the story in itself isn't massive. It is a little like you mentioned, but I guess it speaks or ties in with the more broader debate that's currently happening with the TGA. But a young man, an 18-year-old, was recently fined, I guess, for holding a bottle of AML or having
legal product.
Yeah, in Brisbane, I think it's a restricted item. So he was fined, I think, $450. But I guess that smaller story provided advocates with a platform to speak about, because I guess now they're saying, well, you know, if these TGA proposals end up going through and they make it a prohibited substance on level with heroin and marijuana, people could potentially face, like, prison time or jail time for just possessing AML. So even though this was a small, I mean, it still sucks that somebody was fined for possession of something that's really... in nothing. I guess having, looking at that case, you kind of think, well, if this, I mean, these the consultations are still underway. I mean, if it ultimately turns out that the TGA's initial proposals come through, then yeah, I mean, people could look at a jail sentence just for
Matt, I don't know a single gay household in this country that doesn't have a bottle of AML somewhere.
In the freezer, yeah.
Interesting.
Honestly.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's easy. I mean, we're on the same page. It's just such an inoffensive and silly thing. You know, I just don't understand really where the TGA were coming from. But they had public consultations in Melbourne, I think, last week, and in Sydney the week before. And from those consultations, obviously, advocates, health experts, you know, pleaded, but they spoke with the TGA basically saying why it's silly to restrict AML in this way. And what they got from the meeting was the TGA essentially just saying all options are still on the table, so we're not sure. So I'm not sure how long this process is going to take either. But look,
the fact that there is a process, I think, is good.
Yeah.
And the process is due to a lot of, you know, agitation by our community, and that's a good thing. Really quickly,
yep.
The New South Wales government is likely to reject extended Mardi Gras lockout laws.
Yes.
Like the relaxation of them.
Yeah. So I know, as far as I'm aware, this year they'll still do on the parade night, they'll relax the laws so that it can go for longer. But a few different people, like Christine Forster, which people would be familiar with, Alex Greenwich, the independent MP, they've really pushed for it to be longer than that, because as we know, even with Midsummer, like, the festival is a lot more than just the parade or the march. So they're saying, you know, it's silly to restrict how late people can park or enjoy the festival outside of even the parade, when it also is such a big business boom. Like, it brings so much money into Sydney and the city.
It's not like bars are really doing as well as they used to be, and they employ a lot of people. I'm sure Glad's all over that, the New South Wales Premiership.
Another sinking ship.
She'll be leading from a leaky ferry. And finally, a doctor has got a $75,000 grant to support same-sex attracted older people living with dementia.
Yeah, this is actually a nice one. Like, last year, I'm not sure if the readers will recall, but I think it was in July, Dementia Australia launched these new resources specifically for LGBTI people living with dementia, which I think is kind of like a blind spot in the community. Like, they're not really... Their unique needs weren't necessarily explored previously. And I guess following on from that, a doctor from Bond University was given this grant, and what she's going to try to do is, instill certain programs and setups within aged care facilities and support programs that are inclusive of LGBTI people living with dementia, I guess, that allows them to feel comfortable talking about their experiences being gay or lesbian or queer amongst their peers. Because I imagine, and actually I've interviewed people that have had this experience before, where being in aged care facilities, they actually don't feel comfortable being their full selves or speaking out about it. And, I mean, dementia is obviously a very unique thing as well. So I guess, hopefully something really positive will come from it.
I think we might bring those people in, Macca.
Yeah.
I think that might be worth doing a deeper dive into.
Definitely.
That's right. Make a splash test.
There we go. Matt, thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
It's always great to have you here.
Star Observer.
Thank you.
You know, read it. Ingest it.
Support it.
Yes, so we've got our bumper Mardi Gras issue out at the moment, which has stuff that's not just Sydney-centric, but, please pick one up.
And what's your handle on Twitter again?
Matthew R. Wade.
Matthew R. Wade.
Yes, just look for the abusive comments from Invasion Australia.
That's right.
Got it.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.